Good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, Jim Hobgood, and we're celebrating Hobbo's birthday tonight. So,
yeah, 49 years old today.
Hoo-ha, not quite. That was a good try, though.
All right, 48?
No, higher. UVA's basketball team has a nice five-game winning streak going on, despite some lackluster play and a bunch of injuries. But it is five straight wins, and that's nice. UVA football recruiting got a nice bump today when Demetrius Nicholson made a verbal commitment to Coach London and his staff. Trey Nicholson, as he goes by, is some kind of player and will really help the football team. We have a big show tonight, some serious basketball talk ahead. We're glad that you've joined us.
Indeed, this is Hobbo, our Merry Christmas edition of Who's Talking tonight. And as Frank said, there is good news in the air with the good news on the football recruiting side and the basketball team. The answer to the question, what's the only thing worse than an ugly win? An ugly loss.
Absolutely.
So our friend Michael Tusky, who was the lone representative at the game the other night, he indeed did indicate it was rather ugly, but nevertheless, we ended up with more points than Norfolk State did. So another win, and as Frank said, five consecutive wins for the basketball team, and they play in about an hour from now in John Paul Jones against the University of Seattle. More on that later. Speaking of basketball, my teammate of 4 years, co-captain, ACC Player of the Year, and longtime involved Cavalier, Barry Parkhill, will be joining us shortly here in the first half hour. In the bottom of the hour, we'll have the editor of the Saber, Chris Wright. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts to share on the Nicholson recruit, as well as the basketball and everything going on in Charlottesville. And before Chris comes on, I think we're going to have a brief visit from Dr. Jody Smith. He will talk about the injury situation as it relates to Mike Scott and Will Sherrill, the
right.
two senior basketball players who are still sidelined at the moment, and hopefully they'll be coming back soon. And the Wahoos, as Frank said, five-game winning streak, 8-3 on the campaign, got an opportunity to get a win tonight, be 9-3 as they take 8 days off for Christmas. And that a very impressive start for Tony Bennett and the Cavaliers. Now Frank will tell you how to follow Who's Talking.
As always, we encourage call-ins. Tonight, just call 345-0910. That's 345-0910. Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage all of our fans also to go to Facebook, just become a friend or fan of Who's Talking on Facebook and stay in touch with us. We give out a lot of prizes that way and keep people abreast of the latest developments in terms of our guests. Your questions and comments are always welcome, so call 345-0910 tonight, and we'd love to interact with you.
Well, Frank, as we said, the Cavs won by the barest of margins the other night by 1 point, although it really makes a big difference. Winning by one and losing by one really has a total emotional difference. Cavs, as we said, play the University of Seattle Redhawks tonight, 7 o'clock, right after our show. You can switch over to WRVA and listen to the play-by-play with Dave Kane and Corey Alexander. Tony Bennett continues to use the four-guard lineup with Hassan Sen, who had the winning tip the other day. Akeel Mitchell and Will Regan, probably not necessarily what you wanted to have happen, but they're getting some early playing time and some experience due to the injuries to the other guys. And after Christmas, it gets a little tougher, still at home, but Iowa State, LSU, Howard, and North Carolina, four more home games on this eight-game home stand as we get ready. And I think we're going to have Barry on here shortly. Rarely do I get serious, but Barry Parkhill, he's been a friend for 40 years, and I've often said I think there are probably three people that have had more to do with the success of the Virginia athletic program over four decades. Certainly Terry Holland, George Welsh, and the guy that's about to join us now, Barry Parkhill. I think his involvement with the basketball team as a player and then what he's done on the development side over an extended period of time. You know, when people go in and enjoy John Paul Jones Arena and Scott Stadium and all the other venues on campus, Barry's had a lot to do with those venues being available and everything they mean to the program. So, Barry, are you with us?
I am here, and happy holidays, Hobo.
Well, likewise to you and Pat and the family. You know, Frank, I was telling Frank before we went on the air that I would have scored a lot more points during our playing days if I hadn't had to pass the ball to you all the time.
And happy holidays to Frank. And, Hobo, I will say this with all sincerity. It was great being a teammate of yours, but your next assist will be your first.
We have debated this, Barry, ever since we started this program. You know, Hobo always said, gosh, if you just got me the ball more, I could have my name listed in some of the statistical columns in the annual guide.
That's why I was a good rebounder in my deck. I couldn't get BP to give it up. I had to go get it off the glass. But anyway,
well,
Barry,
I will say this, that an undersized forward Jim was, but a great rebounder, and he sure made my assist total better because he made just about everything he shot.
Barry, let's start with the basketball team from the standpoint of the first-year players. How would you assess the first-year players thus far?
Jim, in my opinion, I'll go right down the line. Of course, James Johnson's being redshirted. But what I've seen, I think he's going to be a very nice college player. Joe Johnson, I think he's – I don't want to put any pressure on Joe, but I think he's got a chance to be great.
Joe Harris, you
mean?
I think you referred to Joe Harris there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just think he's got a chance to be a really, really good player. Feel the same way about KT Harrell. Akil Mitchell's going to get a lot more time now that we've got some injuries, and I think he's got a huge upside. At this point, Will Reagan's going to get time that he probably will not get when Mike Scott and Will Sherrill come back, and that'll give him a chance to mature and get some experience. And Billy Barron has shown some bright moments. I think there's a little bit more competition at the point guard spot for him now that Zielinski's back. But I just think it's a great class, especially for Tony's first recruiting class at Virginia.
From the standpoint of the overall team, I think certainly 8-3 with a chance to go 9-3 tonight. The Virginia fans have to be pretty happy with that. So how would you assess the first 11, 12 games of the season?
Jim, I think so far Tony's done a remarkable job. You know as well as I do, there's a fine line with this team between winning and losing, but he's got the same page. It starts with defense, rebounding the ball, and I think with the limitations we have with injuries, Jim, we had no post-up baskets this past Friday against Oregon. We had one post-up basket against Norfolk State. Against Oregon, we shot the ball real well. Had a great win against Norfolk State. We did not shoot the ball well. And with our team, the way it is now, you're going to live and die with a jump shot. But with defense being consistent, we got a shot at being in a lot of games.
Yeah, that's one thing I might ask you to do from a coaching standpoint. Can you explain in layman's terms Tony's pack line defense? What are they trying to accomplish, and what's the objective of that defense other than to keep the other team from scoring?
Well, from a player's perspective, Jim, neither you or I can understand the defense, but from a coaching perspective, I think the one big difference is a lot of coaches today, and when they're coaching defense, really try to force the ball to the baseline, whereas Tony wants to force the ball more to the middle of the floor, where there's more players to help, and it keeps the big guys from having to jump in the rotation as much. When the ball's coming along the baseline, a lot of times your big guys have to jump in there and help. But when you're forcing the ball to the middle, the big guys can hold their position, which the big guys are guarding, and you get more help from the other perimeter players. That's the way I understand it, Jim.
Well, as you well know, I was the expert in what you call weak side defense. Whatever side I was on was the weak side, and it really became weak side help defense because I was yelling help a lot, as guys went by me rather quickly.
No, you are much better defensively than you're giving yourself credit for.
And Frank may jump in here too, but I was just going to ask you a question from a development standpoint. You're out in the field a lot. Just thought you might be able to comment on what the fundraising climate is out there in the current economy.
It's quite a bit more challenging, Jim, than it was, looking two or three years back. you know, in an athletic, in the athletic world that I'm in, the economy absolutely impacts people's giving. And I'd be lying if I didn't say, you know, the revenue sports, football and men's basketball, when things are going really well with those sports, I think that, you know, from a development perspective, it goes better. You know, we've got challenges with football and basketball. I think both, you know, Coach London and Coach Bennett have us moving in the right direction, and that will help moving forward. But I think it's getting maybe a little bit better, but I don't think it'll ever be the way it was, you know, back in the mid, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, moving back.
Yeah, speaking of Coach London, there was some good news on the recruiting side there today. I assume when you're out traveling, talking to alumni and friends of the university, you're getting some positive feedback on Mike London and his performance.
Jim, it's all positive. And again, as everybody knows, it's a work in progress. I think the same can be said with Coach Bennett and our basketball program. It's more challenging with football because you're playing, you know, 11 guys on each side of the ball. You recruit depth. So you've just got more players you have to recruit. So it's going to take a little bit longer to replenish the talent pool and, you know, and the depth part of the team as well.
As we go forward, and I guess, you know, the other aspect that you would deal with is all the Olympic sports, and certainly the baseball team has been a real positive, I would think, out in, as you talk to friends of the university.
Jim, our Olympic sports have competed at an extraordinary level. If you look at last year, there's no argument. It was the greatest year in the history of Virginia athletics if you look across the board at all 25 sports. Brian O'Connor, baseball has been phenomenal. Brian Bolin in tennis has been phenomenal. The problem is, Jim, I don't want to leave anybody out, which I'll have to. Men's and women's golf, swimming and diving, both lacrosse programs, both soccer programs. Women's crew won a national championship. Wrestling had its highest finish ever. It's just been amazing what our coaches have accomplished. And we've just, at this point, probably have the greatest collection of coaches, certainly in the history of Virginia athletics.
Yeah, I certainly think that. I've told people from top to bottom, I think we have the best leadership in place that we've ever had. And we got to go to break here momentarily, and just go back to basketball. And we had Dan Bonner on the show last week talking a little bit about the ACC. Seems like ACC basketball, other than Duke, is down a little bit this year. Do you have any explanation of that?
You know, I really don't, Jim, other than if you look across the board, you know, a lot of teams lose kids. Some of them lose kids that are underclassmen to the pros, or they lose seniors that have played and competed for quite a few years. Certainly Duke is by far and away at the top of the heap at this point. And everybody else is trying to, you know, climb back in it. And I think in some ways that, you know, makes it a little bit better for Virginia in trying to, you know, get back into the upper echelon of the league. But again, Jim, it's early. And I haven't seen every team play, but at this point, there's a large gap between Duke and everybody else in the league.
All right, Barry, we've got about a minute before we go to break. Just in general, watching the Cavaliers this year, talk to us a little bit about what maybe Tony's trying to do with, you know, he's dealing with an unusual situation where he has almost no big men to work with, and he's got all these guards. What can he do in these games leading up to the new year to try to make Virginia competitive?
Well, a big part of that is hope Mike Scott gets healthy in a hurry, Frank. Mm-hmm. But again, it starts. I can't speak for Tony, but I guarantee you the first thing he would say is beyond defense, we cannot be out-hustled or out-worked. It's got to start with defense and that. Even rebounding, when you got a smaller lineup, you're going to be challenged, but it starts at that end of the floor. And doing everything possible to create shots for kids. And again, in some respects, with the smaller lineup, you're going to live and die with a jump shot. You know, but at the same time, if you're doing the best job you can on defense, that's going to keep you in games.
Barry, I think we're going to go to break now. Can you hang with us for a couple of minutes? We'll bring you back on the other side of the break and just ask you a final question or two.
Absolutely. I'll be waiting for you.
All right. We're visiting with Barry Parkhill. If you want to talk or call in with a question, 345-0910. We'll be back after these messages.
This is Who's Talking with Frank Maloney and my trusty co-host, Jim Hobgood. We're talking with UVA's Barry Parkhill. Hobo, I think you had a question about the old days.
Yeah, Barry, Frank and I, off air here, we're talking about some of our teammates, Scott McCandlish, Frank DeWitt, Tim Rash, a friend of mine in my office ran into Tim Rash today, Chip Miller, of course, Wally Walker, Gus Jouard. I was going to give you an opportunity just to talk about some of the people that we played with, as well as maybe the difference in the game today versus back in the many years ago when we played the game.
Well, Jim, it's always good hearing those names. Fortunately, with the job I have, I get to stay connected with a lot of people, including our former teammates. And within the last month or so, I've been with Bob McKeag. I've talked with Bob McCurdy. Of course, Bob McCurdy started at Virginia, transferred to Richmond, and led the nation in scoring. I get a chance to catch up with Steve Morris every once in a while. Jim, other than the athleticism, I think the biggest difference is the shorts are a lot longer today than they were 40 years ago.
And the socks are longer, aren't they?
That's probably a good thing. Yeah, and I think, you know, the question I always ask, too, is we seem to score a lot more points in those days, minus a shot clock and a three-point basket. Was it the fact that we really didn't play defense? What was the reason for that?
You know, I think everything is more sophisticated, matchups, even the zones. I think there's more emphasis on defense. And Jim, from the day players start in college, you know, they're working at all summer long. They're running, they're lifting weights. There's so many more techniques to get bigger, stronger, faster. And it's much, much more of a full-time job. So everything they do, they're better at. I think, and look at what our kids do today, and really wish that we would have had that when we were in school, because I think we would have just been a lot better as basketball players.
Yeah, you spent most of your time in the library. I distinctly remember that.
Now, come on now.
Oh, by the library, I meant that restaurant down on Emmett Street. You know that.
Now, I never hung out there, but you know what? I honestly regret. I know I would have worked in the weight room. We just never did it.
Right.
And I think a lot of times I look at how hard these kids work and the instruction they get, and just because of the era that kids are in today, they get a lot more attention than we did.
Well, Barry, I know you want to go over to JPJ if you're not already there and watch the game. Merry Christmas to you and Pat and the family, as we said earlier. Thanks for joining us, and I'm sure we will see you soon at a game.
Jim, it's a pleasure being with Frank and yourself, and all the best to you guys and your families for a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and hope to see you soon.
Thank you very much. Legendary Virginia basketball player, Mr. BP himself, Barry Parkhill. Thanks, Barry.
All right, my man. Hope to see you soon.
Likewise. All right, I think Frank's going to do the play of the game now, brought to you by LeClaire Ryan, our friends down at LeClaire Ryan Law Firm.
Well, we're certainly going to go to Monday's game at John Paul Jones Arena. As everyone knows at this point, the Hoos were struggling against the feisty Spartans of Norfolk State.
Feisty, huh?
Feisty. And the game was going down to the wire. UVA trailed 48-49 with 23 seconds to go when our good buddy, slinging Sammy Zaglinski, missed a three ball. But then first-year guard KT Harrell, who was just this past week named ACC Rookie of the Week, he got a huge rebound, made a move, and was fouled. He went to the foul line and unfortunately demonstrated why first-yearmen struggle at the line late in games. He missed his free throws, but fortunately for the Cavaliers, third-yearman Asan Sen leaped high into the rafters and tapped in the shot to post the big win. UVA kept the winning streak going, and as I've always said, if you don't play the big men, they'll never get any better. And I think Asan Sen, he may not be scoring a lot, but he certainly has helped a lot. I think the Minnesota win was particularly that second half. He had a big hand in that. And obviously on Monday night, he saved UVA from an embarrassment.
Well, just looking at the stats, he did have 12 rebounds in the game, which is pretty impressive, have double-figure rebounds. That tip-in basket was his only bucket of the night, but he picked a good time to score his only deuce, as they say. And as we talked earlier, an ugly win's better than an ugly loss. And most importantly, you know, five games in a row that Virginia's won, 8-3 on the campaign with a chance to go 9-3 prior to Christmas.
All right. Well, we're headed for our second break and looking forward to having UVA grad Dr. Jody Smith joining us to talk about the injury situation. And we've got Chris Wright coming on a little bit later to talk basketball. Feel free to call us at 345-0910. We're headed to break.